All right, welcome back to another episode of Backstage, the Bachata podcast, where you get to know artists, DJs, and organizers from the bachata scene on a whole new level. My name is Lucy.
And my name is Jan. And today we are joined by Pierre from London in the UK. Pierre, who is many things, a musician, a DJ, a dancer, a teacher, instructor as well. But yeah, I guess maybe Pierre, you want to quickly introduce yourself. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, my name is Pierre. I'm a bachata and salsa teacher from London in the UK. I've been teaching salsa and bachata since 2004. But before that, I was a musician, and music is very much the way that I approach dancing. I came to dancing through music, and that's how I approach it in the way that I dance and the way that I teach.
Awesome. Cool. And I'm very excited to have you here. I think I discovered you or some of your work maybe a month ago. You, Pierre, built this amazing e-musicality tool where
it's incredible.
Lucy likes it as well.
I love it.
it has a couple of songs. Or maybe you want to quickly say something about it, Pierre, because you built it.
Yeah, no, it's just it's an online tool to help people. Well, it started out as an online tool to help people understand the structure of bachata music. And especially sort of with regards to what makes up a bachata song, if you like. Because like there was a lot of misunderstanding in the community about remixes and bachata and bolero and all of these different things. So I was trying to sort of bring a bit of education about how I could do that. And so I thought I'd combine all of my three skills, because I'm a software developer, I'm a musician, and I'm a dance teacher. So I put them all together and I built this app to... and it allows you to split out the different instruments of bachata music. And it also helps you to identify the phrasing in bachata music as well. I'm actually working on version 2 right now, because that version is a bit slow, because it takes a long time to load all the tracks. So this version will be a bit faster, and it'll allow you to use it offline as well. So if you want to use it to teach in class, then you can do that as well. And I'm also speaking to some salsa musicians to get some salsa songs on there as well.
So. Oh, nice. That's really
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah, I spent so much time on that the other day. And I was absolutely amazed telling you how incredible it is. It's so great. Really interactive, but you learn so much from it. It's really well put.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So, really nice tool.
And then going with that, you also have a little series on musicality, and especially in bachata.
Yeah. So about a month or so ago, I did a series of three consecutive workshops just discussing musicality in general and musicality, how it applies to bachata as well, and recorded them, and they're up available online for anyone who wants to watch them.
Yeah, I watched them. Really nice. Happy to have you here. But yeah, I would say let's get into it. Lucy, you want to kick things off?
Sure. Let's kick things off a bit in a different way. I want to ask, when you look on the dance floor, when you're DJing or at a party, what do you see and what do you like seeing? Just what makes you happy?
I like to see people enjoying themselves, obviously. And for me, it's about the interaction between the two dancers and also how they interact with the music. So what I like to see is that it's like they're having a conversation about the song that they're listening to on the dance floor. That's what I like to see. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I like how you put it as a conversation, because it is. It's just a conversation without words, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And seeing as you're a master in musicality, from what I've heard, how would you define musicality, actually? Because it's such an intangible thing.
I always start off my classes by saying there's actually two different ways to think about musicality. The first way is like what we call musical interpretation. And with musical interpretation, it doesn't matter what you do on the dance floor. It's your interpretation of the music, and that's how you feel. That's how the music is telling you to move. And that's fine. No one can tell you that you're doing anything wrong and it's all about you, right? But on the other hand, musicality in my head is more about approaching music and dance in the way that a musician would. And a musician, music and dance are creative, expressive arts, but musicians and dancers follow rules and structures. They can't do whatever they want whenever they want. So in a song, there are certain moments and certain times where it's appropriate to do something or it's not appropriate to do something. And so as a musical dancer, it's our job to sort of follow the same rules that the musicians are following in terms of what we do and when we do it. That's my understanding.
And where does that fit in for you? In the whole context of social dancing, where you have, you know, there's the connection to your partner, there is all the moves that you're learning, there's the musicality, you know, how does that come together?
So it's like in a song, you have different sections within the song, right? So you have the introduction, you have the verse, you have the chorus, you have the like the mambo section or the solo or whatever. And each of those sections has a different meaning and a different role within the song. So like in the verse of a song, the verse is a construct in musicality, and it's where the singer is telling a story, right? So over the course of the song, from verse one to verse two to verse three, that's how the story unfolds, right? And as dancers, well, what's the polite thing to do when you're listening to a story, right? The polite thing to do is to shut up and listen.
You listen.
Yeah.
Right? So as a dancer and as a musician, so if you think about the musicians, when the musicians are playing during the verse, they're not trying to overpower the singer. The music takes a little bit of a backseat so that the vocals can shine. And that's what we want to do as a dancer as well. We don't want to be overpowering the story with our movement, right? But on the converse side of that, you have the chorus. And the whole role of the chorus is to involve the listener into the composition. That's why in the chorus you have the same lyrics in every chorus. And the melody is a very catchy melody. Right. So when you're driving along in your car and you're listening to the song, you always learn the chorus first, because that's what you're meant to learn first, because that's how music works. Right. So in the verse, we're listening to the story, and in the chorus, we get to join in. So you've got those two different play of energy just between the verse and the chorus. And then you've also got like the introduction where the song is introducing itself to you. That's where you introduce yourself to your partner. Yeah. And then in the solo section, when the musicians are showing off, that's the appropriate time for them to show off. And it's the appropriate time for us to show off. So in the context of bachata, there's a lot of teachers that will tell you that you should be interpreting the guitar with your footwork, right? So they say when the guitar is going digga, 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 you're supposed to be doing lots of footwork. Right? Yeah. And it's not because the guitar is doing that, it is because the guitar is doing that at the time when it is appropriate for the guitar to do that, which is in the solo. So that's where we as the dancers also get to show off. So we're showing off with the guitar. We don't have to follow the guitar exactly, but that's where it's appropriate for us to do our shines, because that's where they're supposed to go. So, yeah, I mean, that's the way that I approach it. The different sections of the song have different meanings, and you have as a musician, I would behave differently in the intro, in the verse, in the chorus. So I bring that through to my dancing as well. I behave differently in the intro, the verse, the chorus.
Yeah. I love that. I guess people, you know, some people maybe that comes more natural to them, or they have a musical background, or they've been listening to music in a different way. You know, some people, yeah. I'm just basically just repeating what you say in your video classes. No, and so, you know, everyone that is listening, I can encourage you to you know, check out these videos and and go deeper into that. I'm just wondering, like, when do you start to pay attention to these things as a dancer? Another question is also, if you look at the dance floor, let's say when you're DJing, how many people do you think are actually dancing or paying attention to the music in this way that you just put it, you know?
To be honest, not a lot, right? But yeah, there are many reasons for that, right? Because we've all grown up with music, but we don't all listen to music in the same way. And the thing with people who have good musicality is they have a different relationship with music than people who don't. So, again, I'm repeating a lot of the stuff that I say in my classes. The way that people with musicality listen to music, it's in what we call an active way rather than a passive way. So when they're listening to the music, they'll listen to the same song like 10 times. One time they'll listen to the vocals, the next time they'll listen to the bass, the next time they'll listen to the drums. And they're constantly sort of deconstructing the music in their head so that they can express it in their movement. Yeah. Even when they're doing mundane things like making coffee or like just doing work, you'll find that they're tapping along, they're tapping their feet, even while they're working and making their cup of coffee, because their brain is engaged with the music in that way. Yeah. Whereas other people, they have music on and it's very much a background to what they're doing. They're not really immersed in it. It's just providing a background noise for their day, right? So you have these two different relationships with the music, right? And then you've also got the issue of people learning how to dance. It's like dance is like a language. And when you're learning any language, you have to learn the vocabulary before you can speak. So you have to learn the moves before you can actually put that into a sentence of moves, if you like. Yeah. And do you know Frankie Martinez? He's a salsa teacher from New York, right? He's one of the most famous salsa dancers. And he said that all of the dancers, leaders and followers, they go through this phase called dance puberty, right? And it's where, like, for the guys, they have to go through this phase. It's where everything's a little bit awkward and everything's a little bit funky and it doesn't quite work and they're still trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And that's where they're learning how their body moves, how their partner's body moves and everything else. And for the ladies, it's where they're trying to figure out what works in terms of styling. So you get these ladies that go to the styling classes, they learn how to use their arms, and then they're all over the place poking people in the eye and stepping on the feet and everything else. So, like, you've got all of these dancers that are going through this dance puberty phase, and they haven't really developed their connection with the music. They're still trying to figure out how their partnership works. So, and it takes a long time for people to work through this stuff. So the people that actually have worked through it tend to be the people who have been dancing maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And when you look at the bachata scene, that's not very many people at all, right? In a bachata scene, it's a very young scene. You've got people that have been dancing 6 months, a year. Some of the teachers themselves have only been dancing for 3 years, 4 years, right? So it takes a certain level of maturity to get to that stage where you are comfortable to form a relationship with your partner and with the music on the dance floor.
So it's better as a beginner, for example, in the scene, in bachata, it's probably better not to go learn musicality at the same time when you're learning moves, because it could be overwhelming. Or do you recommend beginners to start it a little later?
I actually see them as two separate but parallel skills, because you can work... It's actually better to work on your musicality off the dance floor, because, like I said, musicality is about your relationship with the music. Yeah. And if you're trying to form a relationship with the music while you're also trying to form a relationship with your own body, it's competing conflict of interest type thing. So what you want to do is listen to music with your headphones on in the quiet and really listen to the different instruments, the different sections, what each instrument is doing in each section, how the transition goes from one section to the next section, like all of these different things that you can do just by listening without having to move your body. Because if you can't hear it, you can't express it, right? You have to learn how to hear it first, and then it can come out through your body.
Okay. And that kind of brings me to another question. If you already have someone who has musicality, right, is there a way you can measure that you've been improving or getting better? Because it's not something you can physically grab or see. Like, are there, so to say, levels? Like, you know, you have intermediate musicality, you have advanced, or is it kind of a gray blur? You know what I mean?
Again, I mean, this is part of the way that I teach musicality, right? But because I teach musicality, I teach instruments as well as dancers. So I've taught people how to play guitar and stuff. And what I've noticed is that people tend to think of it as a complex thing. It's very esoteric and you can't quite put your finger on it, right? Mm. But there's basically four components that you need to know in order to have musicality. Like the first component is timing, right? And that's just the ability to synchronize your movements with the music. So if I ask you to clap on the first beat, you clap on the first beat. If I ask you to step on the fifth beat, you step on the fifth beat, not on the fourth or the fourth and a half or somewhere around the fifth beat, you step on the fifth beat, right? So that's timing. And that's your most fundamental relationship with music, because if you don't have timing, you're not actually dancing, because the music's over here and you're moving, and those two things are not linked in any sort of way, right? So timing, most fundamental relationship with the music. Then you've got rhythm, and that's the ability to identify repeating accents, repeating predictable accents within the music, like the clave and stuff, right? And to be able to recreate those rhythms in your body. And then the third thing is what we call phrasing. It's like identifying sentences within the music, and a sentence has a beginning and an end. And like the verse has a beginning and an end, the chorus has a beginning and an end. And so as dancers, we want to create phrases with our bodies that match the phrasing in the music. Okay. And then the last thing is what we call dynamics. And dynamics is simply matching the energy of our movements to the energy of the music. So if it's happy, if it's sad, if it's up tempo, if it's down tempo, whatever. Okay. So if you have those four things, you have musicality. So timing, rhythm, phrasing, dynamics. If you think about it like that, then you can measure your progress.
Right. So there's all these things that I need to, you know, and that gives me, by your definition, right, that means I have musicality, right? But just because I know these things in theory and I use your tool, you know, I see, okay, this is where all, you know, like, oh, this is the structure and this is how, you know, the energy goes up and down and, you know, and this is where I can, you know, I could potentially put my accents and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then how do I translate this musical knowledge? Like, how do I bring what I learned in class, which is, you know, let's just assume that's purely, you know, for me, it's leading technique and, you know, some figures, and then I have this musical knowledge. How do I combine these two things?
Okay, so there's a couple of things, right? The first thing to acknowledge is that musicality in solo dancing is different from musicality in partner dancing, right? Even if you, again, going back to the music, if you think of the solo instruments, like the lead guitar, for example, or the singer, they have more freedom within the music to do what they want, right? Whereas the other instruments, like the percussion instruments and the rhythm guitar, all the background instruments, they have a much more structured existence, if you like, right? And so in terms of solo dancing, you're behaving like a solo instrument and you have that freedom. When you're dancing with a partner, you have to behave as if you and your partner are a band, right? And there are different aspects of your partnership that correspond to different aspects of being in a band. So, like, when you're dancing with your partner, say in a band, we have the rhythm section, like the drums and the bass. And the job of the rhythm section is to hold everything together, right? And they keep the timing, they keep the rhythm, and they also mark the changes between the sections. So, for example, in bachata music, you have the güira, you know, the
yeah.
Yeah. And in the verse, it has a rhythm which is playing on the every half beat. So it's going 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. Yeah. And then in the chorus, it drops. So it's only going on the beat. So it's going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It drops all the half beats. Right. So the job of the rhythm section is to hold everything together and to mark the different sections within the music. Now, how does that correspond to your dancing? That corresponds to your dancing in your footwork, right? Because your footwork with you and your partner, that is the rhythm section of your partnership. That is what holds everything together. And the footwork in your partnership should correspond to the rhythm section in the music. So when your footwork is, well, when the rhythm section is going constant, like in the verse or in the chorus, you want your rhythm section in your footwork to be doing the same. Whereas in the intro or in the solo, when the rhythm section deviates from that normal pattern, then again in your footwork you can deviate from that normal pattern, right? And then you have the rest of your body to express all of the other instruments. So when do you know about like chord progressions in music? So you have like, well, it's different ways the melody can work, right? So, and that corresponds to things like turn patterns, right? So the way that the melody and the chord progression changes in the music relates to the way that we use the turn patterns in our dancing.
Can you give an example there? I know chord progression, and I know what you mean with, like, you know, the different turn patterns, but how does it fit together? Like, as the melody progresses, how does it change, like, the turns that you're leading, for example?
Because I'm getting a bit deep into music theory now, but like with chord and melodies, you have this idea of creating tension within the music, and you have things which are unresolved. So, like thinking of a song like Jingle Bells. Right, so you've got jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-open sleigh. And that's not resolved. It has to go somewhere. It needs the other
right. Part. Right.
Oh, like that.
Yeah. And so when you're dancing, you don't want to do some sort of move which leaves you feeling unresolved. You need to resolve that tension. Yeah. So you're using musical constructs in your movement, so you have this resolution and stuff. So if you heard, do you know the clave in salsa? You have like a
two,
yeah.
Clave, so right, and with that we're creating tension on the three side of the clave, which gets resolved on the two side of the clave, and that relates to how we dance salsa as well, because we tend to prep on the three side and we execute the movement on the two side. So you get that tension and release, okay? So you have all of these little things which are direct correlations between movement and music, which many people are not even aware of, even the teachers. They do it without thinking. So, yeah, there's all these little things that are bubbling away that,
yeah, the like the chord progression stuff, for me it just clicked right now what you told me, and it's something to me unconsciously, you know, it makes sense to me, and I, you know, when I'm watching like a YouTube video or something, and you know, maybe the lead is not paying attention to your things, it feels off, but you cannot really explain why. But yeah, but this all sounds to me that this is very important for leads, you know, to learn musicality, because we are the ones that are leading and, you know, initiating the moves and stuff. Is musicality different for followers and leaders, or do you teach it different?
I don't teach it different. I teach it the same for everyone. But because like people describe musicality as following the music or responding to the music, or when the music does this, you do that, right? But that's not how musicians approach musicality, right? The bass guitar isn't waiting for the drummer to do something before he does what he's going to do, right? They both understand the structure of that song, and they know where they need to be at certain points in the music so that they arrive there at the same time. It's not a consequence of one or the other. Yeah. So when you have like the rhythm section, like I was talking about, this idea of mirrored shared footwork is very important in partner dancing, because it actually gives freedom to the leader and the follower. Yeah. Because the follower now can execute movements within her own structure without worrying about having what timing the leader is on, right? Because you have that shared footwork, the follower can now have more freedom in what she's doing. As soon as you take that shared footwork away, the follower is now fully in working in response to what the leader is leading, yeah? And this is one of the things in sensual bachata particularly, right? So when you have this different dynamic between traditional, moderna, and sensual, right? Because with traditional and moderna, they stick more to the traditional way of dancing in a partnership. You have that constant footwork. So salsa, you're always 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, right? But that allows both partners to do different things within the music without interrupting each other. And it's the same in traditional bachata, it's the same in bachata moderna. But then when you get into sensual bachata and you have your stationary moves where both partners are standing still and waving and doing the head rolls and the isolations, now the dynamic changes. It's still leading and following, but it's more about initiation and completion, right? So the leader will initiate the body wave and the follower will complete the body wave. The leader will initiate the head roll, the follower will complete the head roll, right? But she doesn't have a choice about when she's going to do that head roll or when she's going to do that body roll anymore, because you've taken away the rhythm section. Yeah. Now, when those things originally came in, because we've been doing body rolls and head rolls in salsa and everything else for years before sensual bachata came along, but they were what we call decorations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like we use those decorations in the same way that musicians use decorations, because like a musician, like in bachata, the
oh, music time.
Hey,
my little baby guitar. So like the rhythm guitar, they have their basic rhythm. So. It's going to be very boring if they have to stick to that all the way through the song, right? So he doesn't. He improvises around that rhythm, and he adds decorations and he adds like fills and everything else to that basic rhythm. But that basic rhythm is always evident throughout the song, yeah? And it's the same when you're dancing. You have that basic rhythm, you add your triple steps, you add your syncopations, you add your head rolls, but these are all decorations. The problem is when the decorations become the dance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's when you get bachata sensual.
not always.
Yeah. I'm exaggerating.
Bachata sensual, there's a very big spectrum there. There's people right. who are more at the bachata end, and there's people that are more at the sensual end. So somewhere in the middle is good. So you still have that bachata rhythm section going on in your footwork, but you're still adding the decorations from sensual. That's the ideal way of dancing it. So yeah, that's the way I would say anyway.
And when you're like, oh, no problem at all. It's super interesting. I just see me and Jan, we're just nodding here like those, you know, those bobby heads that they, like the back of a car. We're just here like, yeah. So my question is, if you're at a social party and you're going to dance with someone you've never danced before, how do the lead and the follow apply their musicality without actually clashing and make it work more in like, harmony, let's say, because you've never danced with this person and you've been practicing on your own, but now you have to do it together.
Yeah. Again, this is something we were talking about recently with some of my fellow teachers, because it's going to sound weird, but as a musicality teacher, musicality can make you selfish as a dancer. Because if you have a really good sense of musicality and you're getting frustrated that your partner doesn't, right, then it makes for a very awkward dance, right? So the way that I always try and approach it with the students is to say you have to establish a connection with your partner first and then try and find a way of exploring the music together, rather than I bring my musicality and you bring your musicality and we just hope that it fits together. Sometimes it's going to work, sometimes it's not going to work, right? So the idea is that you get that foundation going, so you get your rhythm section going, right? So it's like when you're jamming, right? So musicians come together, they don't know how the song's going to go. So you get someone come down, they lay down a beat, so that someone comes with some bongos or someone comes with a drum, they put down a beat, and then you get other instruments jumping in on top, and they add to the melody, they add to the chord progression, and every so eventually it starts to sound good, right? So it's the same when you're dancing. You get your rhythm section going, you get your footwork going, and then you can start adding some chord progressions like your turn patterns in, and then you can start adding some melody in like your styling, right? So you just build it the same way that a musician would build it.
Man, I love that comparison to how you said, like, to jamming, you know?
Yeah.
You're so right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a nice way to put it. It's a nice way to really understand the concept,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So.
And I, just like you guys, I mean, when I say this to people, they're like, that makes so much sense.
It does.
You just never think about it like that.
Yeah, exactly. Because I just want to make it easier for people to understand, like, simple concepts. It just makes your life a lot more enjoyable on the dance floor.
It does. And it also kind of makes the whole concept of musicality. I know when I started dancing, it was a scary thing, you know. Musicality was what the amazing dancers had, you know. It's what separated everyone. Yeah. And now it's more like trying to, you know, figure out your way through this whole musicality thing. It's still kind of, because you can't see it, as in, like, you know, if you do a combination right, you know if you've done it right or wrong. But with musicality, it's a little more difficult.
Yeah.
Putting it this way kind of makes it a little more approachable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah.
But isn't that totally backwards? Like, we say musicality is so important, and you know, you just said, Lucy, you go to the first festival and you see all these dancers and they have amazing musicality, yet if you look at the workshops and what is being taught,
that's true,
none of that is musicality, or 5%. Oh, that's a very generous 5%. But yeah, most of it is figures and stuff like that.
Again, something that I'm going to say is going to sound weird for a musicality teacher is that you will never learn musicality in a musicality workshop.
No?
No. Because
what is a musicality workshop to you? Maybe we need to define that first.
Well, no, because Well, yeah, I mean, there's musicality workshops and there's choreography workshops, which are not the same thing. A lot of musicality workshops, they tend to be just, oh, here's my choreography, this is how I've interpreted the music, and I want you to
right.
copy the choreography.
But I think that's already a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the full deal, but it's, you know, at least that gets people to experience how it is to dance on a song having musicality, if the choreography is good.
Yeah, but it's like teaching someone how to bake a chocolate cake by giving them a chocolate cake.
That's true. Because you're not really learning. Like, every choreographed new dance I've done, I didn't actually, you know, you just learn the moves. You just know how to do them. But it's not actually that you learn the core part of it.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those classes. It's just not my idea of musicality, right? And they right. do serve a purpose, and they are very well attended, and the teachers that teach them are great. So I'm not having a go at it at all. It's just I'm coming at it from a different direction. I completely forgot what I was going to say now. Where was I going? So you can't learn musicality in a workshop, right? So you will come to me and I will tell you, this is what you need to listen to. This is how the instruments are structured. This is what timing is. This is what rhythm is. This is what phrasing is, dynamics and all of that. But until you actually go away and form that relationship with the music, you are not going to have musicality, right? It is very much a personal journey. So yes, you need someone to point out what you need to look for, but you need to develop that relationship with the music on your own. Yeah. So that's why I say you'll never learn it in a class. You'll learn what musicality is, but you won't learn musicality.
Yeah, but even what you're saying right now, no one has ever told me that in a workshop or at a festival.
No.
It's 100% true in my opinion, but it's not something that is ever being taught in workshops or very rarely.
Yeah. It all depends on how you approach teaching and how you approach dancing. Because, like, if you go to, as a student, if you go to a workshop expecting to be taught musicality, it's not going to happen. Right. So you have to actually take away what you've learned and apply it on your own. And it takes a long time, right? It's not something that you can sit at home for a week and yeah, I've got musicality, right? The musicality develops over 6 months, a year, 2 years, 10 years, right? Your musicality is always evolving and it's something that you always have to work on. But like I said, once you've developed that relationship with music where you're listening to it in an active way, that's when your growth takes off, yeah, because you start doing it subconsciously. Like I said, when you're making the coffee, when you're ironing your clothes, that's when you're working on musicality without even having to think about it. Yeah. So it's about changing the way that you relate to music.
And do you think that musicality as a skill, because it is a skill, is promoted enough in the dance scene? Because, like, obviously, if you've been dancing longer, you've heard about musicality and you know what it is and you kind of have an idea of how to go about it. But new dancers in the scene, if a teacher never tells them about it, like what Jan said, no one's ever told this to, like, I've never heard it. Jan's never heard it. How are they going to, you know, come across like, oh, there's a thing as musicality?
No, it is hard for new dancers to come across it. But again, it depends on the teachers and how they structure their classes. Because, like, even me, when I love teaching beginners workshops. Yeah. And I would never teach explicitly musicality in a beginners class because it just would overload their mind. Right. And the whole point of the beginners class is to get people enjoying the dance so that they want to come back and so that you see them next week and like all this sort of stuff. So, but at the same time, you can still bake musicality into your class structure without having to explicitly teach musicality. So even simple things like if you're going to teach four bars of eight, so if you're going to teach four moves, right, relate that to a phrase in the music. So don't teach a three bar phrase or a five, don't teach three moves or five moves or seven moves. Teach four moves that have a beginning and end. And when you play the music, make sure that you start those four moves and the same phrasing as the music.
Love it.
So it's just simple things like that. But if you're teaching, you're going to teach a workshop with five moves and you're just going to start them wherever, it just doesn't make sense within the context of the music. Yeah. So yeah. Just little things like that. Just changing the way that you teach teaches musicality without having to explicitly teach musicality.
That is so smart. Awesome.
Awesome. I love it. Man, these 40 minutes like poof, like flew by. Awesome.
No, but like I said, it's just about forming a relationship with the music, and the best way to do that is off the dance floor. So you just need to develop your relationship with the music, and then once you've got that relationship, then it will naturally come out through your dancing. Yeah. But if you're trying to develop your musicality in the context of movement, it's your body naturally focuses on the movement aspect because that's what's taking the most effort at that point in time. And the musicality gets pushed to the back. So work on the skills separately, yeah, and then put them together in the dancing, and it'll work much better.
And go to emusicality.co.uk.
Yeah. Yep, emusicality.co.uk. And next week, hopefully, I'll have the new version up there.
Oh, I'm excited.
Awesome. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so that's your website. Any other places where people can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/salsa addict, because I was actually a salsa teacher before I was a bachata. So, yeah. Yeah, find me on Facebook, send me questions. I work as a software engineer, so I'm always on my computer, so I should be able to answer you fairly quickly. So.
Awesome. Well, that's thank amazing. You so much for thank joining you. Us and taking the time.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
This was such an educational evening for me. I loved every bit of this.
Cool. I'm really glad.
So thank you so much.
That's okay. Thank you for having me.
All right, that was it again for another episode of Backstage, the Bachata podcast. We really hope you liked it as much as we did, and time really flew by. It was amazing to learn so many new things about musicality. Our minds were blown, so I hope yours were too. And if you enjoyed it, please forward it to a friend, send the episode on Spotify to a friend or on Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to. Follow us on Instagram. You can find us there at backstage.podcast. Tell a friend, tell the whole world about this amazing episode because, yeah, we were really blown away. Yeah, if you haven't subscribed yet, make sure to subscribe. So we will catch you in the next one.